Turn in your Bibles to the book of Acts. Book of Acts. We're in a series, A New Way. And we're looking at Acts chapter 6 through 8, A New Direction for the Church. And we started looking at that last week, and we are going to read from Acts chapter 7, verses 54 through 8:1. We looked at this last week. It's going to give us some context about where we're going this week. That okay? That okay? Thank you. Hallelujah. All right, Bible says, when they heard this, they were furious. And this is Stephen's sermon. They were furious and gnashed their teeth at him. But Stephen, full of the Holy Spirit, looked to heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. Look, he said, I see heaven open and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God. At this, they covered their ears and yelled at the top of their voices. This is Sanhedrin, the ruling body of the Jews, and they rushed at him, dragged him out of the city, and began to stone him. Meanwhile, the witnesses laid their clothes at the feet of a young man named Saul. While they were stoning him, Stephen prayed, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. And he fell on his knees and cried out, Lord, do not hold this sin against them. And when he said this, he fell asleep, and Saul was there giving approval to his death. Lord, I thank you that you are good, that you are mighty, and that you are awesome, Lord, that you lead us in your presence. Lord, that you come in to be among us today. Lord, I pray your anointing would be in our time. Lord, I pray for the challenges that we have. Lord, I pray for Lori, the healing in her back. I pray for Michael, the healing in his hands and in his back. Lord, I thank you for each of us, the challenges that we face. Lord, that you would be glorified, that you would be magnified as we grab on to kingdom power, move through those challenges, and continue on in the path that you have given us. In Jesus' name. And everyone said?
Amen.
Everyone said?
Amen.
Aren't you happy we got air conditioning? Everybody said?
Amen.
See, I knew I'd get a witness on that. Hey, last week we took a look at Acts chapter 6 and 7, and we had water baptism. And as I was praying, Nacho came skipping up. I mean, dashing up to pray. And he said, I want to apologize to God. And he said, I want to apologize to you. And he said, I want all the stuff back that I lost. You see, Nacho had given his life to the Lord a year and a half ago. And challenges in life, you know, the Bible says that they're going to come. Can I get a witness on that? And those challenges sometimes cause us to step away. Well, he had stepped away, and he said, you can find for forgiveness, but forgiveness is a two-step process. There is confession, which you have done, but then there is repentance. And that means that you are turning away from what you've been doing and getting back on track with the Lord. Get my track? Know what I'm talking about? Confession and repentance. He says, that's what I want. That's what I want to do. I said, well, I'll tell you what, Nacho, we're doing water baptism today. And you can make a public declaration of this choice that you have made, and you're turning back to the Lord, and you get baptized in water. He said, that's what I want to do. That's what I want to do. And so we got him back up there. It was his second time in a year and a half. And the great news of the gospel is even if you step away, the Lord gives you an avenue so that you can step back up and continue on down his path. Amen? Amen? All right, we are talking about a new way. And this is a look at Acts chapter 6 through 8. And it is a shift of focus on the church from Jerusalem to the world ahead. The message is going out. And that message, we took a look at this last week, is a threat to the Jewish culture. Jewish culture focused on the land, the law, and the temple. Said, we are the people of God. God's presence lives among us in the temple. And we live in the promised land, our inheritance. And as we took a look at Stephen and his message, that it came in direct challenge to those values of the Jewish culture and said, all of that passes away and there is a risen Messiah that comes that you would find new life in him. And it was a challenge. And we all face a challenge if we are going to move ahead in the plans of God that he has for us. Amen? And so the Jews are receiving this message of the gospel, this message of a Messiah that was raised from the dead, and they have a choice. They can leave their past behind and move into this new future, or they can step away. And as we read, they chose to kill Stephen. They chose to step away from the plan of the Lord. But even then in Scripture, there is an opportunity, even for all those Jews. The Jews who have stepped away, come in time to step back up and move ahead in the plan of the Lord. Now, just to do a little business, there's an attack that comes against the church. The message that Stephen brought, he brought out of the Greek-speaking church, the Hellenistic church. And it's a technical thing, but I'm going to talk about Hellenistic Christians tonight. Today, I'm going to talk about Hellenistic Jews. And these are the ones that have come back from afar. They speak Greek. They don't speak Hebrew. They have separate services and all that kind of stuff. They bring a message. They are scattered and they are persecuted because they were challenged by the gospel. God used that challenge to spread his word. Amen? All right, we're going to take a look at this new way. We're going to talk about the message going to Samaria. This is the area directly to the north of Judea. Well, I'm just going to read it. Saul approved of their killing him. On that day, a great persecution broke out against the church in Jerusalem. All except the apostles were scattered throughout Judea and Samaria. Godly men buried Stephen and mourned deeply for him, but Saul began to destroy the church. Going from house to house, he dragged off both men and women and put them in prison. Those who had been scattered preached the word wherever they went. Philip went down to a city in Samaria. We don't know what city. And he proclaimed the Messiah there. When the crowds heard Philip and saw the signs he performed, they all paid close attention to what he said. For with shrieks, impure, unclean spirits came out of many, and many who were paralyzed or lame were healed. So there was great joy in that city. And what happens is this persecution that comes against the church begins to move that message from Jerusalem on out to the world. Following me? Saul becomes the Apostle Paul. Saul of Tarsus is going from house to house arresting Christians. How'd you like to have somebody come to your house? And you a Christian? Would there be enough evidence? If you looked at your checkbook, would there be tithing receipts? Would there be time spent? Would there be people who would testify, yes, Adriana shared the message of Christ with me. She's a Christian. Would there be evidence against you? I hope there would be. Paul is going house to house, and he is attacking mainly these Greek-speaking, these Hellenistic Christians, because he was from afar as well. And everybody flees from this persecution. All the Christians do. The Hebrew-speaking ones, they kind of flitter back in to Jerusalem. But those Greek-speaking ones, they're gone. They're easily to be identified. Now, these Hellenistic Christians, they move to Samaria. And Samaria welcomes them with open arms. They said, man, the Jews have been attacking us for 1,000 years. If you've been doing the daily readings, which I suggest that you do, we've been reading about the split between the northern kingdom and the southern kingdom. It happened right after the reign of King Solomon. This would have been 920 B.C., so about 1,000 years thereabouts. Samaritans and the Jews have not been getting along. And now, because of their common heritage, the Samaritans, they hold on to the first 5 books of the Bible. And they have no problem. They have no claim. They have no tie to the land or to the temple because the Jews have been kicking them out for all this time. And so they have this message that comes forth from the Pentateuch of Moses saying, there will be one who will come among you like me. And they are waiting for this. We see that in the Gospel of John, chapter 4, as Jesus is talking to the woman by the well. And she is a Samaritan woman. It says, the woman says, I know that Messiah, called Christ, is coming. And when he comes, he is going to explain everything to us. So the Samaritans, they're waiting for this Messiah. Philip comes preaching that Messiah. He comes casting out demons, and he comes healing the sick. And the Bible says that there was great joy in that city because they were moving ahead in the plan of the kingdom of God. Amen? All right, let's keep going here. We okay? Hallelujah. Verses 9 through 11. For some time, there was a man named Simon, and he practiced sorcery in the city and amazed all the people of Samaria. He boasted that he was somebody great, and all the people, both high and low, gave him their attention and exclaimed, this man is rightly called the great power of God. They followed him because he amazed them for a long time with his sorcery. And we see this story shifts on to Simon, and he is all set up. He's getting paid. He is a worker of magic. He is a sorcerer. And back in those books of the Bible that the Samaritans held on to, the Lord speaks about that, Deuteronomy chapter 18, verse 10. Let no one be found among you who sacrifices their son or daughter in the fire, that's idolatry, who practices divination or sorcery, interprets omens, or engages in witchcraft. See, now, some of this stuff is just sleight of hand. You know, it's somebody doing card tricks and doing stuff like that, but some of this stuff is the work of the devil. And the Lord says, don't let anybody around you that's doing this stuff. I'm not going to go there. You ever see a magician and just get the creeps? Yeah. Whoa. Me and my wife go, whoa. We're getting away from this guy. Whatever Simon was doing, and however he was doing it, he was pretty good at it. He was good at it because the people were buying it. High and low, rich and poor. He had something for everybody. And people figured out, man, this guy is the power of the mighty God. We need to hook up with him. And you know, Simon, he figured he was all that. He figured he was even more than that. He was pretty good stuff. He was somebody great. Now, we would rightly call this arrogance or pride. And into this steps the message of the Messiah. And that message is going to give you an opportunity to move ahead in the things of God for your life. Or just step away. Because it's a challenge. Amen? Before I met my wife, I met my friend named Sal. I used to preach a lot about Sal, but me and Sal got saved about 28, 29 years ago, so that memory of Sal just kind of fades a little bit with everything else. But another story for another day. Sal had a Pontiac Fiero. My wife has ridden in that car. She goes, oh my, she remembers that thing. He would baby that thing. Oh yeah. What he would do is he would call everybody up for a ride so he didn't have to drive his car. He didn't want to get any scratches. And he would shine it, and he would talk about it and all this stuff. And I maybe, when I met Sal, he was saved maybe 6 months. I saved maybe 3 months. And we're hanging out for a while together, and I finally said, Sal, you need to give this car away, man. I said, it is in your way for the things that the Lord has for you. And he said, literally, are you crazy? He said, this is a beautiful car. God gave me this car. God wants me to have this car. And he didn't give the car away. But I'll tell you that the message of the gospel was an incredible challenge for Sal. Bible says it is hard for a rich man to get into the kingdom. Amen? Can't serve two masters. Going to love the one and going to hate the other. And along the way, the challenge became too great for Sal, and he stepped away. And I'm wondering this morning, what's your challenge? Yeah, everybody's got a challenge. Amen? Everybody's got a next step to take. And your next step is always the hardest one. Amen? All right, let's keep going. Samaritans, good news. Hallelujah. When they believed, the Samaritans, but when they believed, as Philip proclaimed the good news of the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. Simon himself believed and was baptized, and he followed Philip everywhere and was astonished by the great signs and miracles that he saw. Even Simon can make a change. Hallelujah. Things are changing in Samaria. They are putting their faith in the gospel. They're making a change. They're moving off of Simon, and they're moving on to Jesus. Let me say that again. The Samaritans are making a change. They're moving off of Simon, and they're moving on to Jesus. Amen. Thank you very much. Yes. Now, see, where the Jews were stepping away, the Samaritans are stepping ahead. Thank you very much, Pastor Scott. I'll buy you lunch today, sir. Now, you've got some visitors here. I'll buy you all lunch. I buy lunch for everybody every Sunday. But we just have lunch after church. That's what that means. Jews are stepping away. Samaritans stepping ahead. Everybody faces that challenge. Move ahead or step away. And you see, we all have something that holds us back from moving ahead in the things of God for us. Sometimes it's our faith. You see, our faith. Because the Samaritans' faith was in Simon. Right? And they had to break through that challenge of that faith that was improperly placed in Simon, redirect that to the Lord so that they could move ahead in the things of God. That the Jews, their faith was in what? The law, the land, and the temple. And they weren't letting go of that. And Simon's faith was in Simon. Sometimes that can be the hardest one to break, amen? What's your faith in today? Where are you focused today? What is important to you today? Pastor Scott talked about surrendering your life to the Lord. You hold these... You hold those elements in your hand. And he says, these literally become, instead of being a blessing, can be poison to you. And some of you going, whoa, get me away from this stuff. And he says, but you can surrender your life to the Lord. And so he said, no. What's that challenge to you? What's that barrier to you? Because the gospel offers you the opportunity to move ahead. And you can step up or you can step away. I want you to notice something. That your faith, however genuine, is not enough to save you. The Samaritan's faith in Simon was genuine. This is the great power of God, no doubt. Look at what he's doing. Genuine faith, but a saving faith has to have an accurate target. And Philip is bringing the message of the Messiah that that your salvation is found in no other name than the name of Jesus. Can I get a witness on that? And I hope that your faith is focused on an accurate target. Amen? All right. Hallelujah. I'm getting a little warm today. And it ain't because the air conditioning is not working. All right, here we go. Verses 14 through 17. When the apostles in Jerusalem heard that Samaritan had accepted the word of God, they sent Peter and John to Samaria. When they arrived, they prayed for the new believers there that they might receive the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit had not yet come on any of them. They had simply been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then Peter and John placed their hands on them, and they received the Holy Spirit. We see that the church in Jerusalem is facing a challenge here. The church in Jerusalem sends John and Peter to go check this stuff out. You see, up until this time, everybody who has been saved has been a Jew. And the Samaritans are looked at kind of like half-Jews. They're like half-breeds. The Hellenistic Jews, the Hellenistic Christians, they were looked at as kind of like three-quarter Jews. I don't really speak Greek. And look at all the hassle that they had brought upon. I mean, it was because of Stephen and his message that all the persecution comes against the church. So they want to send Peter and John to see what's going on. But Jesus had pointed the way. He says in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses to Jerusalem, Judea, which is the area around Jerusalem, and to Samaria. And so in Jerusalem, as they're sweating this, they're going, Jesus said, we've got to go to Samaria. We better check this out. And one of the first things they do when they get there, say, did they get the Holy Ghost? Because it is when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, that is when you're going to receive power, and it also validates the work of the Lord in the expansion of the gospel. Now, they asked about the baptism. Why? Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. That is when the church in Jerusalem was formed, when the church in Jerusalem received the Holy Spirit. Bible says, when the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. And suddenly, a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. They get there and they said, you guys got this? They said, no, we don't have this. And so Peter and John pray for them and they receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And the challenge to the church in Jerusalem becomes even greater, because they realize God's in control of this, not the church in Jerusalem. And that's the challenge for so many of us. You going to let God be in control? Or are you going to be in control? Amen? I was a new Christian. I was maybe a Christian really lit for the Lord, maybe four or 5 months in the Lord. And we had a new singles pastor, Pastor Tim, married Lisa and I, a great man of God. And we met in a large church in the singles ministry. And he came in and he made an announcement about this leadership training that was coming, singles leadership training. Anybody who wants to go can come. I said, I'm going to go. And so there's probably 600-700 people in the crowd that day. And it was a month or two, month and a half away or something like that. So I show up. It's like 6 o'clock in the morning. We're driving from Sacramento. We're going to go to San Jose. It's about 2 hours away, plus or minus, and get in the van. And there's all the big wigs from the singles ministry sitting there, you know. And I remember a Barry. Oh, yeah, he was a big wig. And he said, so did Pastor Tim invite you to come? I said this. I said, Pastor Tim invited everybody to come. He goes, he announced it, man. I just decided to come. The Lord gives you opportunity to step ahead in his plan. I was the only guy out of 700 that showed up other than the leadership. He only announced it one time. That was enough time. One time was enough for me. I'm going. They're like going, man, you've only been saved 4 months. He didn't say there's a requirement. But you can step up or you can step away. Some of you, the Lord is going to give an opportunity today. Step up, step away. See, the gospel's going to force you to choose. If you've stepped away, he gives you the opportunity to step back in and step ahead. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. All right, last thing I got for you today, I'm going to take a look at Simon. Because God is the one who's in control. God is the one who's leading the way. When Simon saw that the Spirit was given at the laying on of the apostles' hands, he offered them money and said, give me also this ability so that everybody on whom I lay my hands may receive the Holy Spirit. And Peter said, sure thing, buddy, $50. Peter said, may your money perish with you because you thought you could buy the gift of God with money. Simon chooses poorly. He's talking about the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and we see that happening in chapter 8 here, and we see the baptism of the Holy Spirit moving with the expansion of the church. Next time we see it is in Cornelius' house, where there's a group of believers that are waiting for the Apostle Peter to come and preach. Miraculous thing. Read Acts 10. It is so cool. But let me just get back on track. It says, after his service, after his preaching, after the miraculous things, and oh, it was just so cool. I do wish I could just read it to you. But while Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit came on all who heard the message. The circumcised believers who had come with Peter, the guys who came with him, they were astonished that the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out on the Gentiles. So we got the Samaritans, we got half-Jews, we got the Hellenistic Jews, we got three-quarter Jews, and now we got the Gentiles, no Jews. And God is in control. God is pouring out his Spirit, saying, I'm going to do a new thing. Amen? In the Acts chapter 19, in Ephesus, the Apostle Paul is there, and he goes to the city, and he finds a group of disciples, and he asks them, well, the first thing he asks them, did you guys receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit? And they say, we don't even know what you're talking about. And he goes, well, what baptism do you have? He says, we got the baptism of John the Baptist. And he goes, well, let me tell you about the Holy Ghost. And he gets down, he says, Acts chapter 9, verse 6, when Paul placed his hands on them, the Holy Spirit came on them, and they spoke in tongues, and they prophesied. And we see this baptism of the Holy Spirit that is a work of God that follows salvation in the life of the believer and is a step ahead in your path with the Lord. There's many steps in the Lord, many challenges to those steps. Amen? This is something Simon wants to be able to do. And we see a little bit of the old Simon coming through. You know what I'm saying here? Makes you kind of wonder what's been going on in Simon as he's been following Philip around. Was he trying to help Philip? Or was he just looking for a way that he could again become the great power of God? Was Was Simon helping God or was Simon helping Simon? Can I get a witness on that? See, Peter, he's not happy. Peter, he sees that there are some problems with Simon. Sees the immaturity of Simon. Now, immaturity happens to everyone. You grow through it if you move in the things of the Lord. Amen? You got to step ahead. Happened in Jesus' ministry, John chapter 2, 23 and 24. Bible says, now while he was in Jerusalem, Jesus, at the Passover festival, many people saw the signs Jesus was performing and believed in his name, but Jesus would not entrust himself to them, for he knew all people. And they weren't ready yet. They needed to step ahead. They needed to have some growth, and that was what needed to happen in Simon as well. Okay? Last thing I got for you, verses 20 through 24. Rewind a little bit on Peter's opening statement. May your money perish with you because you thought you could buy the gift of God with money. You have no part or share in this ministry because your heart is not right before God. Repent of this wickedness. Pray to the Lord in the hope that he may forgive you for having such a thought in your heart. I see that you are full of bitterness and captive to sin. Then Simon answered, pray to the Lord for me that nothing you have said may happen to me. And Peter is saying, Simon, the kingdom of God is not about you. Hallelujah. Lunch for you, ma'am. Hallelujah. See, Simon's heart is not right before God. Peter sees it. His request makes that clear. And Peter says, because the way your heart is, you can't have a position in this ministry. You can't serve God in money. You can't serve God in man. You can't have two masters. You're going to love the one and hate the other one. Amen? You heard that part before? Peter sees this problem in Simon. But Simon's position in the ministry could have been really valuable to Philip. Hey, this is Simon. Remember him? He's saved. He's following Jesus. And you think, man, if Justin Bieber would just give his life to the Lord, or if LeBron, man, come to our church. Beyonce, come and sing. Or some of you that are a little bit older, if Dylan would just.
See, the old guys, it takes a little while.
Who? Did you say that? Oh, see, Josh, that's why I said, if you're old. That's what people used to say. If Dylan would just get saved. But don't put Simon up front, Peter says. Simon's got some challenges that he needs to move through before he's going to be able to be valuable for the ministry, no matter what his background is. He's got some steps to take. He's got some challenges to go through. One of the things he needs to deal with is his bitterness thing. You know, there could be pride and arrogance going on in his heart and in his life. He needs to deal with that. Doesn't mean that he's never going to get right with God. But it does mean he's got some growing to do. He's got some stepping to do, some choices to make. Step ahead or step away. Now maybe some of you today have stepped away. There is opportunity in the gospel for you to step back in and start growing. Start making some good choices. Amen? Challenged by the gospel. At least you can come up and play. Simon was challenged. We don't know. I mean, there's all kinds of conjecture on who Simon was and what happened. We don't know what happened with Simon. We don't know if he stepped ahead or stepped away. We don't know how he handled that challenge. I'm wondering this morning, what's your challenge? What is standing in between you and the life of the Lord? Are you ready to move? Are you ready to make the step? See, some of you have been thinking about that next step ever since Pastor Scott said, you ready to give your life to the Lord? Oh, can't do that. Can't do that because right now my faith is in me. And I'm not ready to shift gears today. Yeah, it's for you too, ladies. You ready to take a step? We can laugh, we can play. That's what we do when we don't want to take the step, right? Go get high. Go do something else. Go work out. Anything I can do to get that next step out of my mind, get the pressure off. You got to step away. Step away and the pressure's gone. Okay. You know, I was 18 years old. Got two DUIs in 6 months. Had an opportunity to line up on the Lord, and I couldn't figure it out. Met this guy. God got me a job with this tire guy. Always talking about God, loving God, smiling. What's up with this nut? I stepped away, and I spun back into a tailspin of life for another 10 years. Joe's 21. Joe could be 31 right now. I could have been 10 years younger. I asked Caleb if he was hurting after the softball game. No! How old are you, Caleb? ¿Cuántos años tiene? I could have played with Joe, not hurt, been young. I lost 10 years of my life because I stepped away. Nacho lost a year and a half. How many years have you lost? What's your next step? You know, the Lord is speaking to you right now of your next step. You could grab a note, grab a pen, put it on your phone. God right now is saying, Teresa, this is your next step. William, next step. George, next step. Javier, Tommy, every one of us has a next step. Some of us are racing toward that next step, getting up some speed, getting ready to take it. And some of us are just paralyzed in fear. Been too long. What's your next step? So the gospel is a challenge. Challenge after challenge after challenge after challenge. And your next challenge is always the hardest. So Lord, I thank you that you are good. Lord, I thank you that even though I stepped away for 10 years, that you gave me an opportunity to step back in so that I could step up, step ahead. And Lord, there are those, I think for Nacho last week, jumping in that baptismal tank saying, I'm stepping in and I'm stepping up and I'm moving ahead. But maybe you are here this morning. You need to step back in. It's been too long. There's been no movement. You have stepped away. You've been paralyzed by the challenge that the Lord puts ahead of you. It's a challenge because it's bigger than you can handle on your own. You need him. Your faith can no longer be in you if you're going to move through that challenge. You have to put your faith in him. This morning you can do that. Say, Lord, I'm letting go of me and I'm grabbing onto you. I'm going to become more like you in my life and I'm going to move ahead. Nobody looking around. The Lord has been yelling in your heart.